Good evening, members. Welcome to City of Marion Council meeting. We are opening the meeting at 6:30 and the Kaurna acknowledgement. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders, past and present. We move on to disclosure. All persons in attendance are advised that the audio of this general council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. Now, council member declaration of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest this evening? No, well, we'll move on. Confirmation of minutes. Could I have a mover for the minutes? Moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Taylor. All in favour? That's carried. All right. The next thing. Yeah. Right. We move to the Plimpton Sports Club deputation, and we welcome Mr. Trevor Bruce, if you'd like to come forward. Oh. Now, we allow 5 minutes, including questions, so you are welcome to speak or to leave some time to answer questions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Deputy Mayor, ward councillors and Marion staff. Thank you for allowing us to make a deputation on behalf of our Sporting Recreation Club. Just like to introduce myself. My name's Trevor Bruce. I am the president of the Plimpton Sporting Recreation Club, which has a governing body overseeing football, cricket and soccer, and a few other variety of other internal sports. Our goals are aligned as the whole of the club across all sports, and that's men's, women's, boys and girls, and lots of families and quite a few members. As you can see on the slide up there, our football, soccer, junior and senior male and female participation has been continuous growth for many years, and it's getting to the stage where it's pretty enormous, and obviously our availability of our own ovals and other things like that is certainly taking its toll on our own oval, but we are looking at other avenues, and we do use about 5 other sporting ovals in different areas, which comes at a cost, but we are allowing to have participation of sport at all times. So next slide, thank you. We were established in 1937, so we're 86 years old, but the current facility is around about 45 years old this year. And as you can see, it's just an overview of what we've got with all the sporting codes and the strong participation. The club's also open and used by the local community, and that is a pretty heavy demand that's been acknowledged from us. So we do have a lot of members from the local community coming down and participating and joined up as members, and we're actually been classified as a go-to destination club, which we're very proud of. As you can see, a catchment of 23,000 people and growing, and also with the new proposed development by the race course, that's going to obviously another little mini suburb. So we're a level 3 good sports club. And last year, we were very proud and honoured to be awarded the South Australian National Football League Junior Sports Club of the Year. So it's a very strong coming from the second position the year before. So we're very happy about that. Next slide. Oh, sorry. The issues. Our oval's used as multi-sports all year round. That's soccer, AFL, and then cricket. And it's virtually every Saturday and Sunday gets used. So there is a high demand on the oval. We're currently at capacity. We can't really cater for any existing sporting and wider community at this particular stage. And we've also had other clubs always trying to engage whether they could join up with us because of, you know, a very good sporting and a good destination club, but unfortunately we can't really accommodate all those extra growth. And also to reiterate, we are one of the largest multi-sporting clubs in the Marion Council area, so we're very proud of that, and the demand is there still. Issues, as you can see, we don't really have female change rooms or facilities for any of the sporting codes. Our club's grown female participation from zero to approximately 160 participants in the last 5 years, and the future growth forecast is extremely strong. As I said before, the population growth in that whole area is included. I don't actually have the full figures on that there, but I'm pretty sure you're all aware with the development happening across the road from our sporting club of Marion, with the Moorfield Park Racecourse. There's an exciting development there right next to our, it's on our doorstep. So we need to be prepared and move along with the dynamics of the community that's asking us to do that. As I said before, our club and oval is at capacity. Solutions, well, obviously we've been engaging and successful in getting a funding from the state government last year to do a master plan. And we're still working on that with council facility planners at the moment. So we're actually seeking inclusion in council's future project planning to assist our club requirements. We're seeking funding for redevelopment, federal, state, local, club, and other aspects that we could get. Hopefully to develop new facility and open space, work in conjunction with the race course. Working together with the City of Marion Council is very important, and I think we do have a very good relationship there. Provide a modern, attractive space for the community because of the growing area and the redevelopment of housing and all that there. And I think Plimpton Park was voted one of the best moving suburbs a couple of years ago in Adelaide. So very, very good area. We also wish to exist the existing community and growing the community. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Mr. Bruce. That was your 5 minutes. Somebody's got a very quick question. Yeah.
Just a couple of questions. The first one is, I'm just trying to work out, are you asking for a new facility with a new oval, or are you looking just for the availability maybe of additional green space and an alternative site?
Well, the first part of it, we are looking at redeveloping the whole site, which I do believe will be presented to council probably in about another couple of months once we get the reports back. The oval space, obviously, we are obviously always looking for extra oval space. That's where the race course is important, but that's been parked aside at the moment. They're just worrying about doing the other areas there. But currently we've got agreements with Springbank, which is not in the Marion area. We have been using Mitchell Park Oval, and we use West Beach, Ascot Park Primary School for training, I think there's Brighton School, I think Brighton High School, have used them for training and pre-season, things like that. So we're not going to get another oval where we are, and we're quite happy just to keep facilitating what we've got with other ovals.
So the next question is, it was clear from the slides that you're already at capacity, so you can't take any more people. So what is the redevelopment going to achieve?
Well, it'll assist in maintaining that growth there. We can still grow the club, but we could have training bases elsewhere. A lot of other clubs have done that, training facilities. And it's just been taken off the table at the moment, but the Moorfield Park race course, the infield part there was signed, looking at having a couple of ovals in there, and that's been parked by the SAJC at this stage. So if that goes ahead, we have already signed a memorandum of understanding along with Glenelg Football Club to use the infill, the oval inside the race course when that, hopefully that happens, starts in a couple of years' time.
And the last question, it looks like you've got lots of significant membership there. What type of funds is the club offering to the redevelopment?
We don't have a lot of internal funds available. We probably would be looking at $100,000 is about all we could sustain at this particular stage, but we'll be working in with state, federal, and other assets, SANFL, AFL, community football leagues, all those avenues where we'll be asking those questions.
Councillor Verlescu.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bruce, for coming in. Just wondering, so what improvements are you looking for the facility that can allow more participation? I meant to see something about the change rooms. I don't know if there's anything else you want to elaborate on that one.
Oh, absolutely. The change rooms is a big issue for us at the moment because we don't really have the female participants designated change rooms. Nothing's been addressed on that. We had a bit of an extension done about 10 years ago, but really on the compliance side of things, it's not really sustainable at this stage. So to improve the actual facility on the change rooms and medical rooms, and then if we have an area where we could look after our community, where we have sessions of bingo, other clubs use. Internally we have many functions at the club there, so we're really basically looking to change our name eventually to turn into more of a community-based club rather than the Plimpton Sporting Recreation Club. Community is very important to us because without that community, there is no us. So it's not just the sporting club. We want people to be involved in that.
Councillor.
Thank you. Look, I know you mentioned football, but are you able to provide further information about the measures the club is taking to ensure a fair distribution of resources between both soccer and football?
Resources in what avenue do you mean, sorry?
I suppose in terms of the space and the club room facilities.
We maintain it at the moment, but because the building's getting old and maintenance costs and running costs is escalating, we do have on that oval two pitches, which is overused. We know that. But there is a shared timing when codes could have that. Wednesday nights and Fridays is soccer, and Thursday and Saturdays, Aussie rules. And on the Sunday, it's morning, we have junior soccer and junior football. So we do integrate with each other, but it's just, full capacity with the oval. And we don't mind looking at other ovals to maintain that because people come to us and wanting to play sports, and we're giving them an opportunity to play sports.
We need to wrap it up because we need to move on, big agenda. I think we should move on. We need to thank our people coming here and also thank you for what you're doing as a club, a huge club, big shoulders. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We move on to the committee recommendations, 9.1. Confirmation of the minutes of the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee. Do I have a mover? Councillor Valescu, seconded Councillor Crossland. Are there any people making comments? No. All in favour? That's carried. The cover report for the confidential minutes of the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee meeting. So do I have a mover for that? We'll take the other cover report separately. It's moved Councillor Lama, seconded Councillor Singh. All in favour? That's carried. We will also take the cover report for the next item, if we may, but I seek leave of the meeting for us to vary what we're doing in that cover report, and that is that the annual review of the open space plan, what we would like to do is look at the one confidential reserve matter likely to be released next month, and that's in confidence and needs to stay in confidence for financial reasons. But after having discussed that as a committee in confidence, we may be able to talk to the rest of the open space plan in open. So we've got that motion for that cover report, and then we'll have the two items in confidence. So let's take 10.2 and an amended. We have to go into... the motion to go into confidence is going to stay the same. All right, have I a mover for that? Moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Valescu. All in favour? That's carried. All right, we move into confidence, and only those people named can remain in the room. So we go back to 10.1, the confidential minutes when the doors closed. To having a microphone, which is great. So we have before us some suggestions, items number on page 11 of your agenda, number 1, 5, 6, and 7. Is there anybody that would like to move those open space recommendations? Moved Councillor Crossland. Seconded Councillor Luscombe. All in favour? Against? Oh, I'll take it again. All in favour? Oh, sorry.
Are we just moving that we move forward with what's on the screen, or are we endorsing all of the decisions that are being put forward?
If I can just... We are looking at the generic rest of the report, the open space report. So we're looking at items 1, endorsing items 5, endorsing the public toilet, endorsing the change place at Glenthorne National Park, and noting the open space policy. Councillor Nates?
Yeah, I'd like to just move, and apologies if I'm too late.
No, it's fine.
But I'd just like to move a change in the wording to number 1, if possible.
Right, it's been moved and seconded. Could you put your wording up, because the movers may be prepared to amend, otherwise you could put an amendment yourself.
So if I could possibly just amend the wording so that we it endorses the retiming of the Cove Oval playground upgrade from 24-25 with timing to be determined in the open space plan midlife review in 2024.
All right, we'll just let the minute people get that down. All right, Councillor Nates, is that the wording that you require, or can you restate it if it's not?
I'm happy how it reads, thank you.
All right, the mover and the seconder.
I'm happy with that wording. I just would like confirmation from staff that review in 2024 is locked in.
Yes, they are answering that. The seconder?
I'm wondering if we can potentially add something on saying that it should be done no later than the 29-30 deadline. Because otherwise the timing could go on forever.
Councillor Nates? This is probably not good chairing, but Councillor Nates, go for it.
Yeah, I think if we can just amend that wording to just read, with timing to be determined in the open space plan, midlife review 2024, with a commitment no later than 29-30.
Is that okay? All right, the mover and the seconder, okay with that?
2029. In line with the precinct upgrade.
Well done. Okay, I think we have a motion. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Unanimously. Thank you very much. We move on from that topic and move to the Hallett Cove Seaside Pool concept and community consultation. And we have a recommendation from staff. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think this is going to take a little bit of a debate, and can I request that we move in to suspend standing orders, please?
All right, we have a request to suspend standing orders. Do I have a seconder for that, Councillor Luscombe? Right, we'll see how we go with discussing this in open debate. All those in favour of suspending orders. Thank you. Yes, we have that unanimous. Right. So there is a reason why the suspension is expected. Can you explain what you'd like?
Sorry. I think there are a number of issues that members may wish to discuss, but I just thought it'd be easy to put my point of view forward. Members will recall that the debate was commenced by email by the Mayor. I didn't respond to that because the Mayor usually doesn't like email debates, even though he initiated it. So I'll give you the response today. So first of all, do I agree with doing community engagement even though the project is unfunded? Yes, I've never disagreed with that. And the only time I've disagreed with a project changing was a project that was 3 years old, had been gone through community engagement, had been approved, the designs had been completed, it was just about to be built, and then we had a motion that scrapped it and changed the entire project. And I disagreed with us not letting the public know. And subsequently, it was against our community engagement policy. Subsequently, members decided that 3 years was sufficient enough for a community consultation, and we moved on. So that I believe that's what he's referring to, but I actually didn't support that at the time. So this has been a long process. I think we're coming up to 3 years. And we're only just getting to the stage now that answers the questions that I have been asked for 3 years. Where exactly will it be built? What will it look like? How many people will use it? And based on its size and number of people using it, how many car parks will it need? Most of those questions have now been answered with these two different concept drawings. The other thing that has been mentioned is there will be some people in the community that still don't want a swimming pool. If we go out to the community with option A or option B, I feel that looks like we are telling them that we are building a swimming pool and it's either option or option B. The position has not changed, that is still a community decision. So there will be people, I believe, in the community that will look at those two options and go, you know what, now I've looked at where it is, how big it is, I actually think we shouldn't proceed. So I still want that option to be included. So ultimately, there should always be three choices. And I think the first choice is to not build a sea pool and explore alternative sea defences when they are required. Because we're not at the stage where if we wait 2 years, the embankment's going to fall in or erode away. We've got plenty of time up our sleeves to look at options. If we go for sea defences, it might not be a wall. It might be just rocks. It could be a whole myriad of things. So they're the main reasons that I think we need to finalise this, close the loop, let the community say whether they're interested or not. And the final point I'd like to make is it has been done through every other consultation, but it should be a big feature of this one that this project is not funded. There is no promised funding from the City of Marion to progress this project at this stage. And I think, again, that needs to be front and foremost, both in any resolution that we put forward tonight and any community consultation.
A few questions and then I might make some comments. But my first question is, what does staff see as the point of this consultation? Just to decide whether it's the size of the pool, is that it?
Yeah. There's a number of things that is driving this consultation. Firstly, it came from council's resolution last year, which was to prepare a concept design and then consult on it. So we weren't able to come back to council with any other scenario than what the last recommendation was, which was to consult. Secondly, the grant that we applied for, we then required consultation as part of that grant. So we're not sort of obligated to do that, but that is part of the grant that we have. And thirdly, I guess from our perspective, if we were to look at any future funding from wherever, maybe an election promise or something like that, it could be useful to have the community sentiment in preparation for that.
So if one of the options all of a sudden is to whether people want it or not, there's a whole lot of questions that remain unanswered. Wouldn't it be better to determine exactly what all those issues are, provide the full suite of answers to people, and then if this consultation has been broadened to make it more attractive for the chamber to conduct it, wouldn't it be better to do that? That's my, and I've got another question as well.
And that's through the chair, a valid observation. And I guess as we've gone through this process, we're progressively ticking off the questions and answering them. So you recall it was an idea a number of years ago, perhaps 3 years ago, and then we did a feasibility study and the feasibility yielded that it was feasible. And the next step is a concept plan, which we've done right now. And the concept plan says it'll work. Here's some sizes. Here's some construction costs. Here's some operating costs. This is where it should be. And it's given a lot more flesh to that skeleton. The next stage will be the detailed design, if we ever go there, and that will require further questions about insurance and other land classification matters. But at each point, we're getting more detail, and there is a cutoff where members may say, yes, we can go out and consult, and we believe the current concept is possibly at that point.
But I guess the question that I've got is, you know, would we be going, so say this consultation went through, there was, you know, people said, oh, we want this, you know, this pool or we don't or whatever it is. If it's to move forward and say, you know, the two candidates for Black from the major parties offer, you know, $4 million, so we know it's going to happen, then wouldn't we then need to consult again?
In all likelihood, and we've consulted last year about a very, very base scenario just to get some community feedback, and this is just the next step in the process. I think we'd probably all agree that if we did get some funding from elsewhere, it's not going to happen this year or next year. It's probably a number of years away. So if council did determine that it was useful to consult now, it would just be a line in the sand. It would either mark it as something that could be progressed or something that wouldn't be, but then we would have to go through a detailed design and get further consultation later. That's correct.
Thanks, Deputy Chair, Deputy Mayor. Number one, I want to agree more with what Councillor Crossland has put forward in relation to the policy, community consultation policy, that as a council, we should respect that and that we shouldn't consult and come back after consultation, taking up the views and then change the midway, what suits us, but not which incorporates the feedback which we have received from the community. So we should be very careful with that one. And the question which I want to ask you from the recommendations, I know we've given people option 50 meters, 25 meters. Yes, there can be people who want 25 meters, that people want 50 meters, but there can be majority, they don't want any, but we don't give them option. And that's why I was thinking, to be fair and to try to test what the community wants, is to put there probably we shouldn't do anything. And then see if the numbers are small, they will pick up somewhere between 25 and 50. But if we don't give that options, we've already locked our minds that you have A or B, but nobody else, we don't want to hear anyone who has different views. And we shouldn't do that. So I hope the information which has been provided is enough, and it's quite happy to go in, but we should add that C, doing nothing out of that.
So we have had some discussion about that. So I'll just go to staff on that, the issue of no, the no voters.
Oh, we would agree entirely with that, and I'm very supportive of Councillor Crossland's remarks at the start. In our engagement material, we would clearly say that that's not costed and it's not timed and it's not designed, and we don't know where that embankment protection or management point will be relative to the sea line and the current wall. We don't have all that information, but it's something that's got to happen, and it could be the preferred community outcome.
I saw Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, thank you. I've got probably two questions, I think. The first one is there a cost associated with the community consultation? I couldn't really find it easily in the notes.
Cost of consultation?
Through the chair, and that's something we'd be looking to cover internally.
Okay, thank you. And the second one is a bit more hypothetical. If we go out to community consultation with our three possibles, and we get, let's say we get overwhelming support for one of the outcomes, is that the only one we're going to take forwards through our process? So let's say, for example, that the community says, yes, we want a 50-metre pool. Are we going to axe the 25 and axe nothing and just do the 50, or are we going to string along the 25 as well? What's the plan?
So the big answer is that that's your decision, Councillor. But what I would recommend would happen would be if one of the two pools came out a strong favourite, we would discard the other pool and then have a pool versus no pool with that preferred pool option.
Going to Councillor Luscombe next, and then Councillor Taylor and Councillor Velescu.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Through the chair, I'm just curious around with the community consultation, how we could go about adding the option to that consultation to enable people to vote for coastal protection without a pool, if that could be added as an option on the survey. So there's no pool, coastal protection, potentially with I don't know how it would be worded, but it's adding, I guess, something to say that people want coastal protection but not via a pool. But how could we go about adding that, do you think? Sorry, I haven't worded my question very clearly.
If I understand the question, Councillor, this is the third option that I think we need to put up. We've got a 50-metre pool, we've got a 25-metre pool. Really, the only other long-term option is some sort of management of that coastline, which we'll articulate, and we'll get our engagement people and Ms. Newman to help us with the wording. We are collecting data about that, so we've got probably another 2 years of data collection, which we can actually elaborate on. In 2 years' time, we'll be in a position where we can come back to council, and if we perchance do a pool, we can propose embankment management for the rest of the area, or if we don't do a pool, we can propose embankment management for the whole of the area, and we can articulate that as the third option.
Okay, I'm going to Councillor Nainsmith. Person, so Councillor Taylor.
Just my question is about how we actually consult, and what's the measures, and what's the distance that we actually consult when we go to a community consultation about a major commitment that we're about to embark on. So, you know, what's the plans there to get the best response back?
Through the chair, our colleague Matt Green will just come up to the stand.
Thanks for your question. The mic on. Thanks for your question. Through the chair. Yep. We will be looking at various mechanisms to get our engagement out there to the community. One of the key methods to get that real broad reach is using our social media channels and looking at those local community groups that we can leverage through those channels. Our online content will be linked to that, so I'm making Marion content. We've got our letterbox drop area that we used in the last consultation, which is quite broad and takes in the suburb there of Haller Cove, which is in the engagement plan. And we've got a zone that we call Zone A, which is a zone that's quite close to the project that we'll refocus on as well in that regard. And yeah, they're probably the key techniques that we'll use. We'll also have some hard copy materials available at the Cove Civic Centre as well.
Right.
And yeah, our consultation period, we've extended that. We've proposed that to be over a 4-week period. So above the minimum 21 days, just to maximise that accessibility.
We have a comment from the CEO and then Councillor Naismith at last, your talk.
I can just please ask in response to that question through the chair. I think it's important to stipulate we will certainly differentiate in the different responses and different zones, whether it's within a proximity of, for example, 1 kilometre or 3 kilometres or suburb by suburb. With this sort of engagement now, we tend to differentiate so you can get a real true sense and gauge through trends as to who the respondents are and their proximity to the proposed facility as well. And I think that's important to properly understand the impact to the local people versus people that might come from far and wide through social media as well.
Well, I know that I've got Councillor Naismith and then Councillor Valescu has had his hand up. I'm wanting to wrap it up. So, yeah, Councillor Luscombe as well wanting another comment. Okay. Councillor Naismith.
Yes, just on that. So obviously the people in the local area are going to be really anti or really pro, and that's great. I think we touched recently on, you know, what is the, why are we doing this? Coastal protection, yes, but with parking and that sorted out, hopefully, you know, we want to promote this as an attraction for the City of Marion and the state possibly as well. So are we broadening our community consultation to the entire area of Marion and, you know, potentially further, but... or are we just limiting it to sort of local and just beyond that?
Yeah, so thanks for the question. We've got those designated zones within Haller Cove specifically, but we do have that broader reach with our social media channels where we are going to go wider around the City of Marion, absolutely.
I go on to Councillor Valescu.
I'm supportive of things happening along that area. And one thing that I know needs to happen is the walkway. So how much money do we think we need to finalise the walkway and there? And any staff being able to give us some figures? Ballpark's fine. And whether that's been funded yet?
So we don't have the numbers with us tonight. I can clarify that there is a separate coastal walkway asset management plan, and the numbers within that plan are already, of course, in the long-term financial plan, but I can't compare those numbers at my fingertips.
There's a, if we're going to consult with people, especially when, you know, one of the options, it's not your preferred option of the two, it's not to have anything. We've got... crushing, you know, the impact on during construction not yet assessed, further investigation needed as far as the cultural side of things. There's some issues as far as the potential liability or whether we'd need to do that. You know, there's other things that are through detailed design, and I accept that, but there's still some elements that I think we need more information on. So I think if council is going to proceed on a community consultation, it needs to cover off on as much as possible on those issues, because later on, if they come up and council's got a way forward, it's going to make it harder. My view is let's wait and on this. I don't think it's fair to compare it with the Marion precinct, because essentially there was two sides to the argument. One argument, we're happy to accept past consultation, but then when there was a change, all of a sudden, we needed something more current. So I just think that it's better to get all the information out there if you're going to do a consultation now, but also keep in mind that you're going to have to do it later on. And it does actually create the situation, no matter what you say, people are going to say, well, you're going to do it. Why haven't you done it? It's a lot of money, $7.8 and $8.9 million. That's a lot of money.
All right, we'll go to Councillor Luscombe, and then I hope we can pull it together a bit further.
Thank you. Through the chair, sorry I wasn't clear in my question before. I just wanted to follow up to explain further what I had meant. And I guess what I'm trying to find out is how would the community understand the third option of coastal protection without a pool? What information would be provided to them to help them understand what that option would entail?
So, Councillor, in the documentation that we'd need to prepare, and we normally run all of that documentation past the local ward members, so we'd certainly be doing that with the Southern Four ward members. We would clearly need to articulate the A 50 metre, the B 25, and see what council are doing right now. That's a high risk area down there. We've been studying this, I think, longer than 3 years. I think we've been studying it for 6 or 7 years. It's been a long term thing. We've had a number of consultants come in. We've had a number of reports that have been approved. We've got ongoing coastal monitoring right now. And there is no doubt, if we had a vote tonight, that we do need to manage that coast in the long term. And we would need to describe that. So to me, that's the sort of the do nothing. That's the minimum. That's what we have to do. And then it's, do you want to do A and B on top of that as well? Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess from what I've read, I find it, as even though I've read all the documentation, I find it difficult to understand what that option would look like. Yeah, so I'm just curious as to how the public would understand that.
And to be fair, maybe I can conclude the intent of the report was just the two pool options. We didn't really go into that third one, but we will need to.
Yeah. Right. We move back to our formal meeting and end the suspended time. We have a mover, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance, but can we now look at amending the proposed motion with, first of all, a point two being that council notes that no funding is available to complete this project. And then make the next ones point three with a letter C, being that what's it say on the content options, explores alternative erosion protection strategies that do not include a sea pool. And if I can speak to that, please. If I can speak to that. So, yeah, we do accept that whether we build a pool or not, there's likely to be additional sea defences along that coastline, but the pool's in probably the most serious section right in front where our play facilities are. If I can speak to that, please, members. First of all, I complete entirely with Councillor Valescu. This is nothing like the Marion Plaza. The mayor introduced that into the conversation, but I agree with Councillor Valescu. I don't see how that's even relevant with this topic. Just to answer the other bits, I'll just reiterate again that this is to close the loop. This is what the whole concept procedure was for. It's what the community have been asking for. It's quite clear that we're not moving forward. I think the suggestion to keep spending money on this potential what if moving forward, it would have an impact really on all our projects. If every single project we've got right now has to stall until we answer all the what if questions, which project could we move ahead with? None. I don't know of any that we've done all those things that Councillor Valescu suggested. You know, we consulted the Ghana on the basketball. No. Are we moving ahead? The site across the road? No, we haven't.
but we still move
ahead. Right. So, Councillor Crossland, time's up.
Oh, I thought we had 54 seconds.
Wrong. Thank you. I was getting different indications. Sorry, keep going.
Can I keep going? Thank you. So we're at the point where the community have asked all these questions. We now have the answers, and I suggest that we actually complete the loop, finish the consultation. I think the safeguards are built into the motion and into the consultation that we're not raising hopes. In fact, right the way through all the communication that's gone out, this is an unfunded project. It's never been suggested that we'll fund it, and it'll be for third parties to come to the party and say, hey, we'll build it, we'll give you this much towards it. Thank you.
All right. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Luscombe?
I'm seconding this with the amendments noted as printed, and I think I'm happy to see that we're making it really clear to the community that no funding is available at the moment to complete this project, and that it may never happen. But it does give the community an opportunity to have a voice at this point in time around what they would prefer, including the option of alternative erosion protection strategies that don't include the seaside pool. So I think with those amendments, I'm happy to second the motion. Thank you.
All right. Okay. That's seconded. Do I have anybody speaking against?
I guess I've got a question to the chair. As there are some significant questions that could be, we could have a bit more information. Also, in regard to that alternate option, what would be the option to have this lay on the table or adjourn or whatever the term would be for everyone to get that? So if we are going to be expanding the scope of the consultation and what's involved, and also some of these questions, which are not trivial, what's the how would that happen? What would be the suggestion from staff as far as a possible time frame and that sort of thing?
Well, you mentioned the chair. I'm in your hands if I have a motion that comes forward. I have a mover and a second at the moment. Are there any other motions or?
I'd just like that we adjourn or the matter lay on the table until a bit further information about the consultations provided.
We need to have an adjournment that's ended in some way, or
happy to take advice from staff when they can update right. some of that information.
All right. We can have a for or against, and then we can also have a formal adjournment in the middle, but somebody's got to move that. But if that adjournment is brought forward, there needs to be a well-defined date in my mind. I'll just check from others. Yes. So
I was hoping staff get an idea of what's involved and they can tell us the soonest date. I can see staff looking at me, but none of the staff are saying anything. So maybe if someone could listen to them and give me some guidance. I'm not putting the report together.
No, but we have a mover and a seconder. If you asked a question, my question is that if you adjourn, you must give us, as somebody, as a councillor, give us an end date.
Okay.
In your motion.
By August, so it can come beforehand.
Just all right, I have a formal adjournment motion. I have to put that without debate. So I have to, as long as we're clear on the wording of that, that this be adjourned till August 2023, the meeting. We need an actual date, please. Right, we've got 22nd of August. So we have a mover, a Councillor Valescu's moving that. Is there a seconder? Seconded Councillor Singh. I put that. All those in favour of the adjournment? All right, that's lost. We move back to, we have a mover and a seconder. We have, I can now invite anybody speaking against, but I believe Councillor Velescu has already used his speaking voice. So is there anybody else that is speaking against? All right, I put the motion. All those in favour of the motion? All right. I can't see. Those against? Right, that's carried.
Division.
There's a division. Will you stand if you are in favour? All right, I note Councillor Crossland, Councillor Luscombe, Councillor Singh, Councillor Velescu, Councillor Mates, Councillor Nainsmith, Councillor Lama, Councillor Taylor and Councillor Masika, and stand those against. Councillor Pryor. Thank you. All right, thank you on all of that. We move forward now. And we are at 11.2. We have the Resilient South Agreement, and we have some motions there. Do we have a mover for those motions? This is on page 179, the Resilient South Sector Agreement. Councillor Velescu?
Yeah, I'm happy to move as is, and I did flag it to members before the Environment Committee, so hopefully if anyone was interested, was able to raise those issues with staff.
Right, so we have a mover. Is there a seconder? Councillor Masika, would you like to speak? No? All right. Anybody speaking against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We move on to 11.3, Local Roads and Community Infrastructure, page 195. Do I have a mover for that motion? Moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Pryor. Is there anybody speaking against? All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. 11.4, CEO and Council KPIs. Do I have a recommendation? Move Councillor Crossland.
Happy to move as printed in the agenda.
Seconded Councillor Masika. Is there anybody speaking against? All right, I put that. Those in favour? Carried unanimously. 11.5, Annual Business Plan. We have the motion on the Annual Business Plan. We have the motions 1 to 5, including all the details that summarise our business plan. Is there a mover for that? Oh, I've got some suggested amendments. We have a typo and a repeat, and also we have a higher charge change to keep that where it was. So we have for number three endorses the draft fees subject to two minor amendments that are important for our fee schedule. Councillor Velescu?
Look, I'm happy to move as is.
Right, moved, Councillor Velescu. Question, yeah?
Question for the CEO. I note at the Finance and Audit Committee, concern was raised that our average rate increase of 5.2 was very low, and they raised concerns that that rate rise is insufficient. My two questions are, one, what is your comment to the Finance and Audit Committee's concerns? And number two, would there be a benefit in noting their concerns in this motion?
Now, through the chair, thank you for the question. I'll declare from the outset that I was absent from that particular Frank meeting, but I'm certainly well-versed with the commentary and the minutes of the meeting, and Mr. Barmore might also want to add as well. So, yes, there was a general sentiment that 5.2% average rate rise could test us in relation to coming in within the designated budget parameters which we've outlined within the annual report. I understand there was considerable detail provided back to the committee which outlined our long-term historical financial position as well as our future position going forward, and also relying on some estimates of inflationary pressures over the next 12 to 24 months. In addition, we also outlined some of the significant pressures which have already been factored into our budget, which is the labour cost and some of our enterprise bargaining implications of both indoor and outdoor staff over the next 12 months to 36 months as well. I have a high degree of confidence that the complexity we've applied to understanding the budget, and with a principle of maintaining rates as low as we can, that we have struck a balanced position which is workable for council, bearing in mind this is only a 12-month budget process, which is also integrated into a long-term financial management plan. So we do have flexibility for adjustments in the future. Personally, I would like to, as best we can, to flatten out peaks and troughs for average rate rises. I don't think that is a good way to send messages to our rate payers. So we need to try and keep within reasonable parameters. Members will be aware that over the last 3 years, we've had average rate rises of 0, 1, and currently 2%. Yes, 5.2% is a considerable jump. It is manageable, and it still will certainly be one of the lowest average rate rises amongst the 68 councils in South Australia. So I'm certainly supportive of landing on that 5.2%. I'm not sure whether Mr. Barnwell would like to add anything further through the chair.
Thank you, through the chair. Yes, and that was well summed up, Mr. Harrison. Yeah, I think we responded to the Finance Risk and Audit Committee. Obviously, they're looking at what other rates are out there and what people are using it, but we've done a pretty thorough job in actually really drilling our costs to make sure that we're covering where we need to be from an operational and capital perspective. We do have a considerable amount of grant funding, which we've been successful with in the last round of grant funding through the elections, which is actually supporting our rate. So once we have a high $57 million capital program, we have a good, you know, $70 million worth of grant funding coming in to support our budget as well. So that sort of negates some of those factors. Obviously, 5.2, I looked at some of the rates and they're up in the 8s, 9s and 10s as well. But some, you know, there's a couple at 5.2 as well, like ourselves. But I'm confident that we'll give it a good go to get that 5.2%.
Thank you.
So mm-hmm. The last question was, is there any benefit of acknowledging the FRAC's comment in the motion that we have read, and we did listen to what they said, and we do note that, but we're fairly confident that we can achieve the 5.2.
Through the chair, I don't think there's any material difference by adding that sort of commentary. I guess it is a choice for yourself or other elected members as to whether or not they would like to support representing that commentary within one of the current aspects of the resolution. I guess from my perspective and the Chief Financial Officer, we can only give you the assurances that we have that degree of confidence. Otherwise, I think we would have been advocating louder and more strongly to elected members that that's just not the position we should be landing on. We have been consistent now for probably nearly 3 months of our complexity of analysis of the financial position, and we haven't seen any aspects of the detail that would cause us to come back to elected members and recommend a different average rate rise and or go to public consultation on anything different than what we have.
We have a mover. We're looking for a seconder. Sorry, I didn't see. Councillor Taylor,
I think. Yeah, that summary fills me with confidence. So I'm happy to support that the 5.2 as written in the report. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody speaking against? All right. I put that. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We move to page 333, the community consultation. We have had a little bit of discussion on this. There are no major issues that have come through during the community consultation, but are there comments that people would like to deal with in the XXXs?
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a question in regards to just a clarification for members and those in the chamber about how the concerns raised by the Plimpton Park Sports Club are going to be addressed. So, and what process that we're currently doing, where we'll be looking at their needs. I don't know if a relevant staff member wishes to elaborate further.
So that's the Plimpton Park Sports. Would somebody like to address? Yes, CEO is going to start, but we've also got another two that people that have been working on this that are coming forward.
And just if I may.
Hang on, we'll just get these people up. Yes, go on, Councillor Bursell.
Just so that we can make a note that the issues raised by that club are being addressed through Process X. So they are aware, it is noted that there is an opportunity for them.
Right. So we've had a consultation. The Plimpton Park sports people have replied in the consultation quite strongly. We're just hearing how we are addressing their concerns.
If I can go first, please, and it might be sufficient. Through the chair, and members will be aware that we've received funding to do a comprehensive analysis from a master plan perspective or a roadmap perspective on the totality use of the site. The member, Jane Stinson, was somewhat integral in the provision of that funding. The work is going well, advancing relatively quickly with stakeholders. There is a lot of support for understanding the future impacts for that particular site. And as the deputation alluded to today, and I know myself of meetings as recent the last week, there is no suggestion from the SAJC that they are going to progress with a sporting infill of the Mulfordville Racecourse at this time. It is off the agenda at the moment. They've deemed it to be cost prohibitive, something in excess of $15 million to get an underpass to get actually on the inside of the track to start off with, and there's no funding available. So the review work that's been done at the moment, I would suggest to members, we'll bring to council as soon as we can. I think it's a matter of some months away. And I would suggest at that time we would consider as a council as to how we start to consider the needs of any upgrade and at what sort of cost and what sort of detail would be involved over coming months. Bearing in mind, we have the ability to modify, add or include those sorts of upgrades. I would also suspect through the chair that it will come into consideration for potential election promise funding in either 25 and or 26 Commonwealth and or state governments. But I would suggest that we need to do the work at the moment to see what options we do have available for a fairly tight landlocked site at Plimpton Park.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's another aspect to the question that's about the community consultation and the response in the community consultation. Would you like to take that up, please?
I thought Mr. Hubbard might be able to ask the question.
A minute. I'll just let these people talk on consultations here. Yeah. So in the agenda, you will find a consultation response. Yeah, would the staff like to respond to that first, and then we'll move to the other aspect that Councillor Valesky is raising?
Thank you for the question.
All right.
Further to the response provided, we will be presenting a report to Council in line with what Mr. Harrison has just explained with the master plan for the particular site, noting that in the 23-24 financial year, we will also be preparing a sport and rec strategy for Council's consideration. So in line with the master plan we have, the sport and rec strategy, we will have a prioritisation process that we'll bring to members for them to make a decision on what projects they'd like to proceed with, which we will then incorporate into the CUMBAS annual review next year as well.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Crossland?
Just to clarify, that's a factual-based decision-making document. It's not based on the squeaky wheel or the loudest voice.
Thank you for the question. The intention is that the sport and rec strategy will be based upon findings and demands and facility condition as well.
Now, sorry, I'm just looking whether we've had a move. Yes, Councillor Masika, please.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. The report is very good. I look up for this pie chart presentations. They look so lovely. But the one thing which I wasn't sure, you've included the age of under 19. So when we did community feedback, did you expect to get the answer from 5 years old child from the community? And if you are not expected to get an answer, why did you put that age bracket there? Because we know it's going to be zero. But why do we need to put it today?
Thank you for that question. We did do drop-in sessions at Cove Civic Centre and Marion Cultural Centre, particularly when there were sort of children events on. So we were looking to speak with kids as well. So that's why that option was there. In the early engagement that we did on the four-year business plan, we did get quite a lot of feedback through schools, which we targeted. So we were trying to align with our previous engagement as well.
All right. Councillor Valescu, second comment.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have to move towards formal.
I'm happy to move the motion and just include a point that the that some of the just something noting about what Ms. Tuen what was already mentioned as far as the process for the assets.
So something like investigate the feasibility to seek partnership opportunities to upgrade the
Noting that further work is being done to prioritise, to assess the needs of all our assets and prioritise over the next 23-24 years. So it shows there is a process that, it's not just clubs that are coming to us. We're actually looking at it in a objective manner. With some sort of evidence.
So we've got noting that further work is being done to assess the needs and assets and priorities over the next, but we need to say assets and priorities of the sporting infrastructure.
It was, it's in relation to the sporting infrastructure through the chair.
Yeah. Over the next, what length of time did you have, Councillor Vescu, please?
It was over the 23-24 year. That's what staff
have over been. Over the 23-24 year. So it doesn't need next in there. Yeah. So we'll take out the next. We'll make it 2023 and 2024. We will take out the subject to following amendments, ***. And subject in the next one, following amendments, ***. And then I'm looking for a seconder. Yes, Councillor Luscombe.
I've still got questions. Is it still okay to ask
them? Go with them, yes.
Thank you. I'm curious to understand about the purpose of getting community feedback on the business plan, because all the questions are sort of answered, but in no place can I see any of that community feedback actually incorporated in making any suggested changes. I mean, there's opportunity for us to make changes here, but I'm just curious as to what staff's perspective is on how that feedback could be incorporated to make potential amendments to the business plan, given we've gone to the trouble of consulting.
Yes, you can answer.
Through the chair, so the purpose of the consultation is requirement for us to do so. We did keep the report very neutral, so you've noticed the common theme section. So really it is up for potential consultation by the members should they wish for any further amendments to be made to the plan before it is endorsed on the 27th of June.
Okay, thank you. Through the chair, I guess I'm just curious because there were a lot of things that came out of that. And I guess a further comment would be that in the responses table, there are some comments that the members of the public have provided where only one point out of their comments is addressed and there's others that are left unaddressed. For example, there was someone that complained about rodents and that part of it was addressed, but there was also another, quite a number of other issues that they addressed which remained unanswered in the table. So, yeah, and also another follow-on question to that is how will people be aware that the answers to their feedback will be available on Making Marion? Will they be informed of that?
An answer to that is that's going to Making Marion. It's going up on the website. Yeah. All right, so we've got a mover. I need a seconder for the motion. Councillor Masika. All right. Is there anybody speaking against this?
So, Your Worship, I just want to clarify. I don't think that Councillor Luscombe's concerns were adequately raised. Councillor Luscombe did ask if there's opportunities for us to take this feedback on board. And if it isn't through this process, you know, is there another opportunity? Because everything that's been put in here, going, it's been done under this, been done under that. And I think that needs to be addressed. We need to find where we can do that opportunity. There's some award issues here. There's some state issues here. But, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to improve what we do as a group. And I think that was missed in the response. So can we please have a process, maybe if we suspend sustaining orders, whatever it is, where we can actually look at these issues?
All right. Chair, I would suggest the following. On page 334, we have the feedback from the ABP draft business plan, numbers 1 to 6, and they are a fair summary. I've read all of it, and I think they are a fair summary, those 6 points. I would suggest that you and the mind I'm hearing from some people is that they're included and that there's reasonable feedback, that the mover and the seconder could put in number 1, notes and considers community feedback, noting the feedback included, and put 6 dot points from page 334. So it's up to the mover and seconder if they want to do that, but if you're prepared to, that may alleviate some of the concerns that I'm hearing from 2 elected members. So the mover, would you be interested in doing that? It's my suggestion from the chair, given answering your question.
I'm personally happy with that. However, if that's just noting them, are there people in the chamber, in the horseshoe, that would like us to act in these further in any way? You know, is there anything further that we can do on this? I understand that the fourth point that I raised earlier will cover point number 2. So I'm comfortable with that. But those other issues, you know, do we need to suspend standing orders and actually, you know, see, are there things that we think we need to change a little bit, or at least see that there's some movement on.
Yes. So the mover, you have the choice of leaving it to the 27th and bringing that extra material and data in now that you've got all the material here, or you could, in number one, note the feedback included and put those six dot points up there, but I need a direction from the mover and the seconder and I need to move on.
Happy to include those on there, and then if there's anything further, we bring that to the meeting.
Mm-hmm. So noting the feedback, it says include on page 234, but noting the feedback, and then you need to actually pick up those six, cut and paste the six, 1 to 6, common themes of draft business plan. We're doing a cut and paste. We'll just get that up.
Just for clarification,
yes.
Is it page 334?
Yes, sorry, 334. Going blind. Sorry, 334. I gave you the wrong page, I think. Yeah. So page 334. All right. So maybe they can be just turned into dot points rather than all right. I need the mover and the seconder, and then Councillor Luskam, I can see that you've put your hand up. But the seconder, the mover, do you want, I think you've really fairly well spoken. The seconder, do you have got more comment to make? No. Councillor Luskam, are you speaking against?
I have a further question, which is the motion reads, notes and considers the community feedback. Can I have some more information on what the proposal is around how we would actually consider it? Because at the moment it seems to me we've just noted it and not really considered it beyond the Plimpton point.
All right.
Thank you for that question. I suppose we put all of the feedback that we received within the attachment. Our intent was that actually recommendation 3 is where you could sort of raise what amendments you might like made based on the feedback that we had received, and we would make those amendments and bring it back to council on the 27th of June. That was our intention.
So in summary, this is our document, our hard work to get it shaped up by 27th with extra material in it as required.
And will there be a further forum on that? How will that be considered by council collectively?
No, there wouldn't be a further forum. We're bringing down the budget on the 27th. We would need to suspend standing orders to discuss if discussion was needed. I need to leave it.
Just one further thing that wasn't clarified earlier is, will the respondents to this survey or consultation be informed that the feedback will be up on the website?
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. That is the purpose of this motion document and response. So, yes, as Chair, I can answer yes. Right. We've got a mover, a seconder. We've got a motion. Anybody speaking against? I'll put the motion. All in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Oh, sorry. I'll take it again. I'm blind. Right. Can we have those in favour? Those against? That's carried. Right. We move to the community land management plans. And we note that we had 11 plans down to 6 that are a reorganisation of the pigeonholes in which the information's put. Councillor Crossland?
I'll move as printed, but I would like staff just to come and clarify a couple of points. The main points are the ones that are raised by the community consultation, in that there's some misunderstanding that by reducing the number of plans indicates that we are selling open space.
Thank you for the question. Through the chair, just to confirm, the reduction on the number of community land management plan does not reflect a reduction of council's current community land that is managed through the community land register. The community land management plan purely looks at how the categories of how we actually manage our community land.
All right. Do we have a mover for this motion? Moved, Councillor Crossland. Is there a seconder? Seconded, Councillor Valescu. Anybody speaking against? Those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. All right, we're up to 11.8, the draft parking management guidelines. And we have found a minor issue about the statistical data. So I would suggest endorse a draft parking management guideline, including an edit relating to the ABS statistical data. Councillor Pryor?
Yes, happy to move as written with the statistical edit. Thank you,
okay.
Chair. And I'll speak to that when the motion's up. Or would you like me to carry on regardless?
Subject to the it's actually an update of the statistical data, including an edit of the statistical data. Sorry, off we go. Yes, please.
Okay. Yeah, look, I think this is a really nice package of work done by our staff here. Not everyone in our council, not all the residents are going to agree with the draft guidelines. That is just goes without saying that. But it is important for our staff to have some guidelines to work to, and this document is the first cut of that. So I am very happy to support it, and I think it's a very nice piece of work that we have to have.
I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I endorse what Councillor Pryor has just said. And again, I'd like to thank staff for a lot of hard work on this. It's been through the Infrastructure Committee, workshop through there, and I believe to a forum. Look, this gives staff some guidance. It provides consistency across council, whereas at the moment everything is ad hoc from street to street. And it also strategically allows us to look at our streetscape and to value some of the things that we have in our streets other than just pander to car parking every single time.
Thank you. So we've a mover and a second. Anybody speaking against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. We move to page 456, the GAROP strategic plan, and page 457. Moved to Councillor Luscombe.
Yeah, I just have a question about this one, if that's okay.
Yes.
I just wondered, given that part of the motion is potentially around advocating that the City of Marion is of the opinion that homelessness is managed and addressed by the state government. My question relates to what is the role then of the local government homelessness network? The local government homelessness network appears to be associated with local government. So I'm just curious around how we're not related to homelessness.
So this is a GAROC report, and it is being our response on the GAROC report, and it's really a governance response. Can I go to governance on this?
Just through the chair, if I can maybe just ask clarification, I'm not aware of the organisation or the reference group that you are referring to. Certainly I'm aware from my responsibility in state government as a chief executive of the Human Services Department and also now local government. So certainly local governments around Australia who are starting to move into having a voice and some response in relation to homelessness. Certainly if we go back to the elected member planning day back in January for the City of Marion, my recollection was there was clarity provided that from a funding perspective, as well as a policy perspective, that it largely sat with state government responsibility for the issue of homelessness per se. That's not to say that individual councils may not elect to do things of their own accord, but certainly my understanding is from a level of governance across government perspective that it clearly sits within the state government domain for both policy and funding and activities. That's not to say councils don't do certain things as well.
Thank you.
Further question?
Yeah, through the chair. The goal that's stated in the GAROC plan states that they wish to have ongoing collaboration with the state government and the South Australian Alliance to End Homelessness through the local government homelessness network. So it sounds to me that the goal is around collaboration and advocacy for homelessness. They're not taking on responsibility per se, but rather advocating and collaborating. And to me, that seems like a worthwhile goal. So I'm not comfortable with removing that one.
All right. Do you have a different motion to put up, Councillor Luscombe?
Yes, my motion would be that number two is removed from the proposal there.
All right. So you're moving number one and number three. And deleting number two. All right. Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Valescu, do we have anybody speaking against? All right. I'll put that motion. Not sure. We've got a mover and a seconder that we have. We're going to respond in the letter to GAROC with points one and was three. Do we have, we are now voting on that. I'll put the motion. All right. I note that we have four and against. All right, it's carried. Okay. We move to page 474, Council Subsidiary, the SRWRA, the Southern Region Subsidiary. Do I have a mover for that motion? Councillor Crossland, a seconder? Councillor Pryor, anybody want to speak to it? All those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. We move to the quarterly risk report, and that this be noted. Do I have a mover? 12.1. I've done a skip. 12.1 first, sorry, page 493 for noting. Moved Councillor Pryor. Seconded Councillor Taylor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried. Right, now we go to page 496, the quarterly corporate risk report, for noting. Moved Councillor Pryor.
Can I move the next two on block, please? Just to split this up. Both about risk.
On block.
Let it go home.
12.2 and 12.3. Mm-hmm. They're moved. Councillor Nainsmith.
I just had a question about 12.3. It seems to be a lot of medium and high in that particular one. I don't know if you're able to just comment briefly, Mr. Harrison, on that.
Thank you. If I can, just through the chair. Could I just say, in context, I would suggest there's not a lot of medium to high, because we have, I think, over 100 different risks across the organisation which are identified. They've been through FRAC, and if I can, if you're not already looking at the first page of the report, the first, second, third, fourth paragraph under discussion somewhat summarises, I guess, those that have come to light, which are more of the high concern and what some of the treatments are in place. And it follows on the subsequent pages as to what those treatments are, particularly the third page of the report, the amendments. Certainly some of those are still relevant in relation to the employment and the labour market, which is one which is ongoing, but we do believe there are a number of mechanisms in place to address that at the moment. So you'll see, I would suggest, that if you look across the whole array of the totality of 107, it's a relatively small number, and we believe we've got adequate treatments in place to manage those as best we can in the circumstances.
All right. So we've got a mover. Councillor Nainsmith, were you seconding or just asking a question? Councillor Luscombe?
Yeah, I just had a question as well, if mm-hmm. I may, through the chair. Mm-hmm. I note that on the strategic risk register, there is an item around climate change. And I'm curious as to, you know, given the risk is around better considering climate change in business activities and operations, for example, events, asset management planning and capital projects, I'm curious around staff opinion around how we can better consider that risk in our operations, noting that the Resilient South report does cover some of that. But is there anything else we can be doing?
Certainly, through the chair, it is vast and complex, but if I can go to the obvious, embodiment of carbon in materials that we use. Concrete is the biggest one, for example, that we have an enormous opportunity to look at reducing significantly our long-term carbon impact if we look at the embodiment of carbon in the materials that we use across the board. That would be probably the biggest, somewhat complex, but one of the biggest areas that we can. But in everything we do, in the sense of the materials, the resources, when you think of how large our civil component is of providing services to community, that is one that we've still got a long way to go. The operational side of it is relatively straightforward and tangible, but I think the more difficult aspect of the embodiment, which has got great potential, is far more complex for us to get our head around.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a mover. I'm looking for a seconder for that motion. Councillor Nainsmith seconding. I'll make a comment from the chair that this is a on page 496, the quarterly corporate report. It's provided to council members for overview. And as a council member, I actually found it quite complex to read. So I will perhaps need to take that up with staff. Is there some way that it's got less complexity and greater readability? All right, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That's carried. Thank you. Both. Right. We got there. One more. We have a question on notice, and we note the reply on the question on notice regarding advertising on bus shelters. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'm a bit confused with the reply to that question on notice. My first question is, wasn't it a council resolution that we look at banning advertising junk food on bus shelters? And if it wasn't, are staff going to refuse an extension to U-Media if they don't agree to that clause?
Yes. So Mr. Allen's coming forward.
Good evening, everyone. Through the chair, there was a council report presented in November 2015 that did resolve to work with the advertising companies and advise of council's intention to consider the inclusion of restrictions on junk food in the vicinity of schools. So that is correct. We did work with BAM Media because their contract expired during that period, and we were able to negotiate that into the contract. With O-Media, we've got an opportunity to put that in the new contract.
So
thank you. So just
subsidiary question.
Yeah, yeah. So just to clarify then, Mr. Allen, if U-Media don't agree to that additional provision, because it is a council resolution, staff will not be able to sign a contract with them unless they accept it, basically.
Through the chair, that's correct. New information has also come to hand about outdoor media code of ethics, which excludes, well, we need to include the 5 food groups if you're advertising food product. So that will exclude a lot of the images of junk food that are displayed. So in effect, the code of ethics will address that.
Councillor Valescu.
I think it's important that we're very clear on what council did agree to previously. So is it possible that that's provided to elected members? Because I remember putting up that motion, and I believe it was essentially asking but not dictating that this is the policy. So we just need to have that clarified, especially there's a lot of interest in the wider community.
Yeah, so this is a question on notice and we've had the answer, but we are hearing. Yes, they are.
So through the chair, if I can give that undertaking that we will do what is required to ensure that reference to any junk food is excluded within that distance within a school. But as Mr. Allen's also said, if we can capitalise on the new code of ethics to actually improve upon that position, we should do so as well.
I want to clarify, did the motion say we have to do that?
The original motion.
The previous motion. Can you clarify that?
Through the chair, I've got a copy of the council report. I don't have a copy of the minutes, my apologies, but I'll read out the second resolution. It says advertising companies be advised of council's intention to consider the inclusion of a restriction on junk food advertising on bus shelters within immediate proximity, in brackets 200 metres, of schools and kindergartens as part of the next renegotiation of the existing contracts.
Consider is the word. So we'll go one step further than that. I hear the sentiments of council. Can I? So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, elected members.
Clarify that. Is that something?
Sorry, I'm closing them.
Of...
yeah.